You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Saver, better believe it, get on and easy, pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way, let it.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. I'm Dawn Karima, and I am thrilled that you joined us today. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of our friends and family who listen around the world. You know, we're all excited because the Red Carpet Awards show in Holland is coming up, and we have 7 glorious nominations. And so we love our friends in Holland and Europe and, of course, everywhere else. And we're especially thrilled that 2 of our nominations are for this show, for the best program or podcast, radio show or podcast, and for the best host. And so we are humbled and honored and happy with this great and amazing honor that's coming right up. And we are so thankful to all of you who make this show possible, who join us, who love us, who pray for us, who share with us, who sponsor us, and who join us as guests. Build back better. We've been hearing a lot of that lately, and it sounds great, and it's inspiring, and we're so thankful. But, how do we do that? Especially all that a lot of us have been going through, So we have a guest here who is one of the most inspiring and eloquent people that I know, and I believe you'll be inspired by him too. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
My name is Jacob King, and I'm from Decatur, Georgia. I lived here for 8 years now, and I have a company called King Me Unlimited, and I do business consulting.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm glad to be back. I was really surprised that you wanted to have me back so quickly. It's an honor. And by the way, congratulations on your nominations as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I thank the Lord. I really do. All glory to God.
And you're already a winner in my book.
Oh, thank you. How wonderful. Well, so are you. You're a victorious person, an overcomer. And you know, we had a beautiful conversation with you, and everyone just sat there like, wow, this was incredible. This is incredible. I mean, he's got to come back. We're just like, yeah, he's got to come back. I'm sure he has a life. I'm sure he has things to do, but none of that matters. You've got to come back because we need voices like yours, good character, wise and intelligent, uplifting and hopeful.
Wow, I appreciate all of that, but I think it was your interviewing style and skills that brought out a lot of that, so I have to, you know, give you proper props as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, somebody asked me what this was one day, and we won the Indigenous Artist Activist Award also for this show a few years ago, and we were nominated the same year for an Indigenous Music Award, and someone asked me what the style of my show was. And I said, I guess I kind of think of it as barbecue journalism, that if we were all sitting on the deck with a plate of barbecue and some lemonade, and it was nice out, and everyone just started to talk, and have a conversation about what matters to them, what they care about, who they care about. That's what we do here. We want to know what you know. I already know what I know. So we want to know what you know. And you're such a healing presence, good medicine. And so, you know, we had to have you back. We just had to. It was just necessary. Like, we knew it had to be done. So thank you for joining us today, because I want us to help some more people. We need to help some more people. Build back better. We keep hearing that. And yet, we all know people who are facing eviction, or they started a small business, gave it everything they had, and then they had to close it down, and now it's, you know, what now? Even our young people, our youth have been going through so much. We love them, and we really cherish our seventh generation. And we think you can help us. And you mentioned something really awesome, that if you were going to eat a whale, you'd eat it one bite at a time. And so I just want to take a few bites and get some wisdom from you that's going to help our friends listening to build back better, no matter what's been going on in their lives. Would that be all right with you?
Sure.
Well, let's start with our youth. We all love our youth. And I want you to encourage our young people. Will you please? I mean, we all know what we're going through. But imagine being a young person and you never seen anything like this before, right? The way things are right now, you don't even have a frame of reference for it. You're just trusting that mom and dad know best. So what kind of inspiration or advice would you give to our young people right now?
Wow, that's a great question. I think one of the things is I have some material that I actually was talking to someone yesterday about, and they want to try and implement it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mentoring program.
Okay.
And it's really a gentleman's curriculum. You know, it can be made for females as well. But I would encourage the youth to reach out to a mentor and somebody that can pour into their lives and someone that they can receive from. And then when they're in the position to find someone that they can mentor as well, is reach one, teach one. If they can, you know, have that positive influence on someone else's life, and someone can have that positive influence on their life, I think that can make a big difference. Because what the gentleman's curriculum does, it really teaches them some of the things that they're not taught in school.
Okay.
It's really taught from a biblical perspective. So there's about an hour of biblical principles that go along with it, but it's really based on, you know, general things like hygiene, you know, even things as simple as if you're walking with a female. You want to walk on the outside of her. You want to open the doors, get her chair, different things like that.
I am amazed. This is wonderful. Tell me more.
So that's really what the program is designed for, to teach those things that they may not be learning at home or they may not be learning in school. So that they'll have some information that they can apply to their different situations.
This is fantastic because, you know, I have a son. And as soon as you said gentleman, I was like, yes, go on. <You know>? So at the root of all these things you're saying, like pulling out chairs and walking with a lady and holding the door, empathy, kindness, right? Courage. What are some of the values that this curriculum promotes?
Yeah, like we were talking about in our previous conversation, it all starts with your motive.
And
your motive should be love.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, love has many fruits of it.
Uh-huh.
It has kindness, gentleness, self-control, you know, respect. You know, when you start with the right motive, you'll end up with the right product.
Amen. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. You said the word gentleman, which oh boy, bring them back, please, to society. Gentlemen, what does that mean to you when you say gentleman? What kind of person does that mean?
Well, again, like we were talking about, you know, in our previous conversation, you asked me what the definition of a king was.
Yes.
And it's carrying yourself with, you know, some self-respect. So a king and a gentleman would go hand in hand. They have some of the same characteristics. They have that self-respect about them, to where they not only respect themselves, but they respect others, and they carry themselves in a manner that is worthy, you know, worthy of respect and worthy of anything that comes their way. They're prepared for it.
That's right.
I remember a few years ago, there was a show on TV, and do you remember? I'm not for sure what he's calling himself now, but Puff Daddy or
I don't know what he's calling himself now. Though. I know we should use Google.
Brother Love. I think
okay.
But Sean Combs. Yeah. He had a guy that used to follow him around with an umbrella.
Oh yeah,
his name was Farnsworth Bentley.
Okay, yeah.
He had a show that was produced by Jamie Foxx called From G's to Gents.
Yeah.
And he was teaching these guys how to be gentlemen, and you know how to, you know, go out on dates, how to, you know, have proper hygiene, how to dress, you know, dressing for different occasions.
Yes.
Being well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the principles I think that we have been missing and have let slip through the cracks. So if we had some different programs like that that could teach our young men and, like I was saying, young women, these different values, I think that we would have a chance to build back better.
I love it.
It starts with people. That was one of the things that I liked about NCUS, the National Center for Urban Solutions, where I met your father.
Yeah.
They had a vision of, you know, Honda builds cars, but they were trying to build people and make them better. So if we start with people and, you know, have that motivation of love as the key ingredient, we definitely will have the right product, you know, to work on some of the other infrastructure issues and social justice issues and the other issues that are plaguing our society. But it definitely has to start with people. How
Absolutely.
We treat them.
Oh, you know, that is so good. You know, my daddy always says you shouldn't ask a question unless you think you know the answer, coming out of the legal field. And I asked that question, and I had no idea what your answer would be, and it's tremendous. It's the best answer I could have heard, because really it's love God, love people, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so if we start with people, that's, you know, that's great. I mean, I was going to talk about policy or something else, but you're right. We're starting with people. We're starting with loving people enough to say, I see great potential in you. I see something in you. You can be better than this. You're great now, but we can do even better. And sometimes we just have to talk to the king in people. We have to speak to the gentleman in people, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, for me in my life, I saw church, you know, growing up in church. And, well, I've always been in church, even now, you know, where the church mothers would speak to you and say, oh, you're such a nice young lady, you know, where this is, let's make sure we sit like this, or let's make sure we do this, or, oh, a young lady like you, I know you'd not do that, you know? And they always treated you as if you were already there. You already arrived, you know? You were already great. And you already had, they could see the goodness in you. And now it's our turn. You know, we're the parents now. We're the aunties, the uncles. We're the, you know, well, some of us are, I'm not a grandparent yet, but, you know, that role is coming someday. And we're going to be able to speak to our youth as people. I love your answer, and I love your program. So how can we begin to put this program to work in our communities and in our lives?
We can start, again, one step at a time, mm-hmm. By reaching out to one child and taking time to mentor them. But we can also implement it in different, you know, places in our school system, you know, as an after school program to to maybe start out, and then also at churches, you know, to have different programs that they can come out to, and this be a part of it. You know, as icing on the cake. If there's, you know, basketball programs that, you know, different places have, we could also implement it into different sports. So it's just being intent, you know, having the intent to do some of these things. Like I was saying, I was speaking to someone yesterday about this particular program, and they have a house that they want to use some different programs that they run out of the house.
Okay.
They want to take a couple of the bedrooms and convert them into offices and start meeting once or twice a week to have a group of, you know, young men and young ladies start this curriculum.
That's beautiful.
So there are many different ways. We just have to be intentional about, you know, wanting to do it, you know, in the first place, and then following through with, like we were talking about, being consistent.
I love everything you're saying, because it can be done. You know, so often, I was part of a think tank recently, and it got so, oh my goodness, esoteric, you know, that it was like, we need millions of dollars to solve all these problems, and no one will ever do this, and it will just not, you know. So finally, I just said, hey, what can we do today? I understand the five-year plan, but let's, right now, can we pour some water on this burning house?
Yeah.
And that's what I see with you, is that you're, what you're saying to us, we can do this. We can do this. We can. And sometimes,
and it doesn't take a lot of money.
That's it.
Either.
Yeah. I was about to say that, but thank you for saying it so graciously.
So doing it on different scales.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, if you do it one person at a time, it's only going to cost you a little bit of time. You know, it's not even going to cost you money. If you want to take them out to lunch, or you know, do different things like that, then, you know, it may cost you a few bucks, but it's not going to be millions of dollars to get started.
Right. Well said. I wonder sometimes, too, we think of mentors as like with a capital M, you know, like they're the greatest people ever in business. They are qualified to be mentors, or the most perfect people are qualified to be mentors. When really, aren't we all somebody's mentor, somebody's role model?
I've always said that you can learn two things from people. Mm-hmm. You can learn what to do, or you can learn what not to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's all a mentor is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're learning even from your own mistakes. Mm-hmm. You could tell somebody, don't go down this path. You know, I went there, and this is what the results were.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I went down this path, and I got some good results. So there's definitely ability to be mentored by, you know, a vast majority of people, and they don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying
that. Because none of us are anyway.
Right. That's right. That's right. Thank you for saying that, because I think some folks are intimidated to think of themselves as mentors, you know, maybe because they don't feel like they have the right degrees or career or success in a certain area. And even as a mentor, you can say to folks, we can learn together. I might not know anything about this, but I will learn this with you. And we'll grow in this. I'll help you find a path towards this. And I think that can be so healing for both parties. And I also want to encourage those of us who are adults and we are thinking of mentoring the youth, that we can find a lot of inspiration and mentoring for ourselves by having younger mentors. You know, somebody's got to teach you how to use TikTok. You know, somebody's got to, you know, they have might have a different perspective and open the world. So, you know, while you're mentoring, remember, it's flowing both ways. You know, you can learn just as much from your young people in your life as they learn from you.
Yeah, and I think it will bridge the generation gap
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not have so far a distance between the young people and the older people.
Mm, beautiful. I love that as a way to build back better. And I wanted to look at what you said about people, building people, because our medicine man said to all of us that we can come out of this pandemic as anybody we want to be, that this is our phoenix moment. This is our moment where we can walk out of, we can change for the better. You know, maybe last time we saw you, you were this and that. Now you're going to come back and be this and that. You can build back better. And so we're talking about how to build gentlemen and young ladies as children and young people. But what if here we have people who've been through tremendous losses and difficulties and all? Can they change for the better?
Definitely. You can start from where you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, determine that you want something different. And once you make up your mind what that is, you start moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you've been through, you know, tremendous loss or what have you, you can start from where you are and, you know, still accomplish your goals. If you're still breathing, mm-hmm. there's still opportunity. There's still a chance.
Yes. And those words are incredibly powerful coming from you. You know, and I appreciate that. So let's say, you know, you had a vision for your life, let's say. Let's say that before the pandemic, somebody had started their business, finally got it off the ground, and then boom, shut down. Or you just, you know, someone was going to go to school and they were ready to go to college or something. And then they said, nope, don't come. We're not coming right now. And it looks to them like all their dreams are shattered. What words of wisdom do you have for those folks today?
Wow. I would just encourage them, you know, to not look at what happens, look at how they handle it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's a proper quote for that. I think it says, life is about 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you let it affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I was in high school that, you know, different things would happen and you would think it was the end of the world. But we had a mentor, like guy, his name was Mr. Henry. And he was like a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even for sure what subject he taught. I know that we all used to just hang out in his office and he taught us a lot about life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of, you know, his things was that, you know, a lot of things are not going to matter in a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are going with a girl and, you know, y'all break up, that you think that's the end of the world because that is what your focus was.
Mm.
But when you look at the bigger picture, that was only, you know, 6 months of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And your lifespan may be 80, 90 years.
Right.
So when you look at the bigger picture, this past 18 months has been, you know, difficult, but it's only a microcosm of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So take yourself out of the equation and, you know, look at the bigger picture, you know, get a bird's eye view of your situation so that you can see that it's not the end of the world, that you can continue to move forward.
That's beautiful. See, that is the beauty of mentors, is a shift in perspective. Look
it
at
is.
This. Pay attention to that. Oh, yeah, that did happen, but this also happened, right? And that's a beautiful thing. So, you know, as we build back better, what are some practical steps that folks can take? I mean, regardless of what happens, you know, regardless of how it turns out, regardless of what has already happened, what can someone, let's say, in business, they have a small business or a nonprofit, I know you consult, you're very expert in that area, and they've been hit hard. What are some practical things they could start to do to build back better?
I think evaluation is, you know, one of the first things as a practical step.
Mm-hmm.
Evaluate, you know, where you are. Figure out is that the direction that you want to continue going in,
mm-hmm.
or is there a better way to do it? I think sometimes we get bogged down in the day to day of things and a routine that we don't do enough evaluation, you know, with ourselves. Do we really see ourselves as we are,
mm-hmm.
or are we, you know, foggy in that area? So I think evaluation is a key step in being practical about your situation, as you put it. Another thing is look at what resources are available.
Mm-hmm.
They have put out a lot of different programs and things. Are you taking advantage of them?
Mm-hmm.
Are you letting them slip through the cracks? Because there was a lot in the CARES Act.
Oh, okay.
To address, you know, different business needs and concerns and even loans and forgivable loans and grants as well.
This is great. This is fantastic. And the evaluation part, really, the self-reflection, you know, that's one of the things that having some time gives us. You know, maybe if you have a little more time on your hands than usual, it's a time when you can practice the pause and really look and evaluate and reflect and see. And this is wonderful because there's so much hope in it. And I think when we evaluate our situation, there again is a great space for mentors and people who can also, they help you see the truth of the situation. And I love what you're saying about the resources, because that so often, in isolation, we feel despair. And so when we realize, oh, there is some material here, there is some money maybe, or there is some something that I can help, that can help me in my situation. You know, there's always somebody who knows what you should do. And I'm so thankful you're here to help us with that. We're going to go to commercial. When we come back, I'm so enjoying this conversation and I'm learning so much from you. But we're going to talk about the way you built back better, how you have actually put this to work in your own life. And we're going to inspire and help more people. So we got to pay a few bills with these commercials, and we'll be right back.
To come and save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let it believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgets.
Build back better. We've been hearing a lot of it, but how do you do it? How do you make it happen? Well, thank goodness for our guest today, who's giving us some nuggets of wisdom that we can apply to every area of our lives, no matter what age or stage or situation. Something in this gentleman's wisdom will help you. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Jacob King. I live in Decatur, Georgia, and I have a company called King Me Unlimited, and I help people with their businesses.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We are so blessed to have you here. When I say the phrase, build back better, what does that mean to you?
It's really loaded. Build back better. I know is a slogan of what they're trying to do with the infrastructure plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that, you know, aspect of it. And then there's, you know, some personal aspects, you know, to be better than I was yesterday. To be, to do things in a way that improves, you know, on a regular basis. So I think about those things as well.
Have you ever had to build back better?
Definitely. I've been through quite a bit, so in my experience, I definitely have had to do that. If you're looking for an example, when I moved down here, I was doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior, I was CFO for a nonprofit, like I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for the National Center for Urban Solutions and with your father with the African American Male Wellness Walk.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the projects that I worked with Judge Pettigrew on. And when I moved down here, I planned on, you know, doing some consulting work with the firm. And they actually needed my help.
Mm-hmm.
But things didn't work out that way. I didn't have any income. Shortly after I moved down, the contract that we were supposed to have, they never signed and followed through with. So I had to kind of build things from scratch. And instead of, you know, getting another job, I decided to build my own business. And it took going out into the community and meeting lots of different people, really selling the idea of, you know, having them use my services. It mm-hmm. took some time, and things didn't happen overnight,
mm-hmm.
but through persistence and that consistency of, you know, trying different ideas until some successes started happening, it really took some perseverance in order to see this thing through. So that was definitely one way that I was able to build back better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did you deal with the reality moments? Like that moment when you realize, more money's going out than coming in. Nobody's called me back yet, you know? And maybe those moments were like, oh dear. What did you do when you had those moments of doubt?
I just really had to do some self-evaluation, like I was saying before, to make sure that, okay, is this what I heard from you, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure that I was, you know, heading in the right direction, and having faith mm-hmm. and that belief that, you know, what the Lord had promised me that he was going to come through with.
Mm-hmm.
And that really takes some trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, you know, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So when my understanding would try and come in, it's like, no, I can't trust that. I don't want to lean to my own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I got to trust what God has told me. I got to trust that he's directing my path. And, you know, when you have two quarters to rub together,
mm-hmm.
That's a difficult spot.
Mm-hmm.
But whether you have two quarters or $2 million,
mm-hmm.
you still have to trust God in all your ways.
That is a beautiful and powerful testimony. And I think it resonates with lots of folks right now. You know, there are folks who are maybe not even used to being uncomfortable. I mean, you were a prosperous executive. maybe they, you know, this is new to them, or you know, they're like, wow, the struggle is real. I've been, you know, and okay. And the key word that you just said was all your ways. And I think sometimes we can get comfortable trusting God with some stuff, you know. Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, cool. You can have the hard stuff or you can have the heavy stuff and I'll just take this stuff. I'll trust, you know, I got it over here, right? And we don't.
Yeah.
We don't, you know. And we are really inspired by what you're saying because it reminds us that we can always run to God at any point and just say, okay, you know, I'm going to surrender this to you. I'm going to believe you in this situation in all my ways. And one thing I really hear in the fruit of the Spirit in your life, I hear that you're really the patience that you have, I truly admire. And the fact that you were willing to stay the course. I believe God said this to me. I believe he will fulfill his promise to me. And I'm not going to panic. Because I think sometimes panic is really powerful, right? You turn on the news and like, you must panic right now. Panic. Are you panicking? You go on social media. It's terrible. Everything is awful. Panic. Hurry up. And are you worrying? You should be worrying. In fact, you're irresponsible if you're not worrying. You know, if you're not, you know, if you really cared about your situation, you'd be doing something. And yet I see that peace of God keeping your heart and mind stayed on Christ Jesus. And that is amazing to me. And so,
one of the most profound things that I've heard in the past 2 years is there was a statement of one pastor was believing God for something, and he said he was believing God for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And somebody came along he was talking to him and said, you're believing God for 25 years?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can believe him for that long. And he said, well, you didn't want it bad enough. And I think that that's one thing that we do is we give up, you know, too quickly when things don't happen in our timing. We have different examples in the Bible that of men and women who had to persevere and have patience over extended periods of time. It was over 25 years between when God promised Abraham that he was going to have a child and when he actually had the promised son, Isaac.
Wow.
So, yeah, Ishmael in between that time, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, right. Well, we've all made a few Ishmaels, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, between the time David was anointed to be king and when he actually sat on the throne as king was about another 25, 28 years.
Oh, wow.
Different. And he was being chased and tried to be killed by Saul during that time. So he went through some hardships in between that time. So we have, in Hebrews 6, it says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And we have to do that as well. What makes us think that we're exempt from having to have that patience in order to obtain the promises that we're looking for. Just like I was in an accident in 1991, and here it is 30 years later, come this September, but I'm still believing that God has healed me.
Amen.
Even though I haven't seen the results of that healing, I believe that what he said is coming to pass. And he's not a man that he should lie. And everything that he has said has came to pass at some point. So I have to continue believing in order for it to happen.
Oh, my goodness. That'll preach. That will preach. I mean, wow. And, oh, my goodness. I'm wiping tears out of my eyes because I used to pray every day, Lord, don't let me miss my miracle because I don't like or recognize the package that it comes in. And sometimes our miracles come in packages that have a timeline we don't like, you know. And sometimes they don't look like what we expected, you know. All my single sisters, I'm talking to you, you know. Sometimes it's not what we thought. And I would hate to miss the miracles that God has for me just because I had to wait more than 15 minutes, right? Or because I settled because this was taking too long, or I didn't like this, or it was just too long. And so hearing you say that is really powerful because I think there's a power. I'm not a patient person. I'm sorry, I'm not. But for people who are patient, I see a tremendous power in that. You can't be moved, right? Caleb said, give me this mountain. I'm just as strong as I was 40 years ago, you know? And so there's some real blessings for people who are willing to be patient and persevere. And I'm so inspired by what you're saying. And I know that our friends who are listening are too. And, you know, there's folks who hear us right now, and they're like, Wow. Yeah. That sounds great. How do I do that? How do I really start to trust God? What would you say to them?
I think it takes time to build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you build a relationship with a friend, it doesn't happen overnight. There's different things that you like about your friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, right off.
Mm-hmm.
But your relationship, your friendship, is going to have some different ups and downs about it in order to be true friends.
Mm-hmm.
That friendship has to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that we need to be more with our relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
to be honest,
mm-hmm.
to recognize where you are in your faith, you know, locate, you know, well, like the guy who wanted to have his son healed.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I believe kind of, but help my
the
part that's unbelief.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus appreciated that. He, you know, took him where he was. And, you know, be it unto you according to your faith. So we have to be honest, you know, first of all, in our relationship with God, where we are, and, you know, not try to be more than we are, and utilize that honesty to really build and develop a true relationship instead of something that is superficial.
That's beautiful. That's really amazing. And I thank you for sharing that truth and that honesty. And one great thing about being honest with God is that that's humility. And humility comes before honor. And so when we're honest with God, when we ask God for help, we're humbling ourselves. And right there, the humble get the help.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If God's like, if you're like, oh, no, I got it, thanks. Well, what is there for God to do? You know, you just told him you didn't need any help. But if you're willing to come to him and just simply say, you know, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. All of a sudden, you qualify. You know?
Yeah, he gives grace to the humble.
That's right. Yeah.
But resist those who are proud.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we have a chance. We really have an open door of opportunity right now. Like never before. You know? This is a moment where everything can change. The things we did just because we always did them before, right? You know, maybe what we were doing, you know, did you really like that job anyway? You want to get a new one? This is your moment. Want to go back to school? This is your moment. You know, this is, you want to reinvent yourself? Want to change things for the better? This is your moment, your golden opportunity. And I truly believe that God has great things for all of us, a good plan for all of our lives, and that he's predestined all of us for victory. We don't need anybody else's permission to succeed. We don't need to be limited by what we used to be or used to think. We can go right ahead on and walk with God into the blessings and the good things that he has for us. So we have a few minutes left where I'm just going to hand you the mic, sir, because I would love it if you would speak directly to our friends. They listen all over the world, and you just say whatever is on your heart to our friends who are listening today.
Okay. we've been talking about, you know, building back better.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we have to look at it, like I was saying, from the people's perspective,
mm-hmm.
building each other up. There's been so much division, you know, in our society, in our communities. We need to look at what we have in common. Mm-hmm. We can agree to disagree and be okay with having differences of opinion, but let our motivation be love and building one another up, you know, carrying each other's burdens,
mm-hmm.
and being willing to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's in the form of mentorship or reaching out beyond, you know, your comfort zone, we won't grow and develop if we stay in our comfort zone. So the only other thing that I would like to say is that everything that happens to you may not be good, but God is working it out for your good if you love him and are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How can folks, you know, connect with you? Perhaps they realize that they need your expert advice for their business or for what they're doing in their lives. Maybe they want to be a part of the difference that you are making in so many communities and so many lives right now. What's the best way to connect with you?
I'm a little old-fashioned as far as that's concerned. I do have, you know, social media avenues, but the best way to get in contact with me is just call. Mm-hmm. My number is 614-769-8850.
Okay, say that one more time for someone who is scrambling.
Okay. Yeah, my number is 614-769-8850.
Wonderful. This conversation, again, life-changing. And I'm starting to think you need your own podcast.
Well, you might have to hook that up for me.
Yeah, Talktainment. Talktainment Radio, are you listening? Because I hear the wisdom that you're offering and the gentle and gracious spirit with which you offer it. And I just thank you for being willing to share your experience to help other people to build back better. Thank you for joining us today. I'm really grateful.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Dawn.
Well, we loved everything you shared with us. Everything.
I appreciate that.
Well, I hope someone has told all of you, our wonderful friends who listen, our beautiful sponsors who help us to have this program, this terrific network, and everybody here. I hope someone has told you. But just in case they haven't, thank you for all you're doing to make your community a better place. Thank you for everything you're doing to build back better in your life and the lives of those you love. And remember, God loves you, and we do too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. Ain't never look back once the world forgave you. Yeah, oh.
Uncle North and your government saver. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, they pray hard. They never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.